These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
Welcome to Lawmaker Huddle. I'm Pamela Kirkland, host of Morning Edition at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each week, we're joined by Donna Lowry, host of GPB's Lawmakers, for Lawmaker Huddle, where we cover the highlights from under the Gold Dome.
Back to school means more than returning to learning. This year, a new Georgia law requires districts to take proactive measures to keep children and anyone working in schools safe. This week's Lawmakers Huddle focuses on how school safety topped the list of priorities during the recent legislative session. Most Georgia schools had only been in session a few weeks when last year, on September 4th, the tragic shooting of two students and two teachers occurred at Appalachie High School in Winder. Immediately, lawmakers started looking for ways to help schools beef up security measures. Joining me to discuss those efforts is the recently elected State Senate Majority Leader, Jason Anavatarte of Dallas. Welcome to Lawmakers Huddle and congratulations on your new leadership position.
Hey, Donna. Thank you so much and great to be with you as always.
I want to focus on the fact that there are two significant aspects to the new law that you served as lead sponsor on in the Senate, SB 17. I want to discuss each one. Starting with the requirement that all Georgia schools install a mobile panic button system. Explain what that's all about, how that technology works.
Yeah, and thanks for talking about this legislation. Basically, this law, it's not a foreign concept for many school districts around the state. I think most school districts around the state have some sort of technology or panic alert system that they've employed in their school districts, trying to get rid of old technology, push button technology, to really create a coordinated sense that when there's a health emergency, which back when Atlanta Public Schools adopted this technology, it was for when there was healthcare issues with staff or students in the schools. And as the technology evolved, we've seen it throughout many counties, including my own home counties, to where the technology is connected to E911, the public safety folks, so that when there is an active shooter or an emergency or security incident, everybody is alerted, and the technology also can take you to the location of where that incident took place. So it's saving lives in the sense that it's taking time off the clock to get to people, to get to kids, to get to teachers, to really protect them from kind of more time going on and on and on under old antiquated technologies.
Yeah, I remember when, for instance, Cobb County Schools installed it back in 2016 or 17. So this has been around for some schools for a while. And while the law took effect this July 1st of this year, schools have a year to implement it, those who haven't done it. And I understand that there could be as many as 80% of schools that already have it in Georgia. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, we know it's more than a majority of the schools. And I think as time has gone on, I mean, we saw after the Appalachie incident, I mean, one of the data points that was shared with us was I think Barrow County had put the technology in place literally a week before the tragic incident happened. So it's an evolving technology base we've seen around the state, around the country. Our EMA directors that are in each of our counties train with the school resource offices, school police departments for those school districts that have their own police departments, and obviously the sheriff offices and police departments on a countywide basis. So a lot of training is happening in terms of incident management, in terms of, when there's a threat. I mean, very similar to when there's a severe weather incident. We have students and teachers go through those exercises, but during an active shooter drill, which I know in Paulding County, our sheriff's office and school district leaders do those on a regular basis. Basically, how the technology is deployed, are there opportunities to improve, but also, too, are there gaps or things that need to be fixed? And that's why there's constant training happening around the state. So we need to really applaud our law enforcement leaders and our EMA directors who are involved with this.
Well, the law is named Ricky and Alyssa's Law. Richard Ricky Aspinwall was a math teacher and coach killed at Appalachee High School. Alyssa was a freshman when she was killed in the shootings at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida in 2018. Her parents have traveled the country to push for laws to require panic button systems in schools, and Georgia became the 8th state at the time to approve the law. On the day the governor signed the legislation, I spoke to Alyssa's parents, Elon and Lori Ahadif. Here's Elon on what their efforts mean.
It really promotes Alyssa's legacy, knowing that her death was not in vain. Her legacy is very important. She was a fighter every step of the way, and to see this in our name really work and protect everyone. You know, she was inherently very protective of everyone around her. She always brought the crowds and was always defensive of everyone in her circle. And this is so nice to see and so vitally important to see that we're able to save lives. You know, this actually, in the Appalachian shooting, it saved lives. A panic alert went off. And if it was not for that, more children and staff could have been killed that day. So this is just a clear example of how it saved lives. If it was there in 2018, our daughter would be here with us today.
Alyssa's mother, Lori, says the panic buttons are just one safety measure.
Training, training, training. It's so important that we make sure that when we implement these safety measures that our teachers are properly trained, and so that there's muscle memory, and when these emergencies happen, they go back to their training and they know what to do.
Leader Anna Vitarte, when did you first meet Alyssa's parents?
So we met almost 2 years ago through a mutual friend when I learned about this, you know, kind of technology and what happened in Florida. And being a former school board member, my wife's a teacher, I've got 3 kids in public schools. We talk about security challenges in our schools and some schools being overpopulated. We've talked about, you know, what happens in that moment in time. And so when Lori worked with me in year one of getting this bill passed and then it stalled in the House, you know, we were already focused on that we were going to get this done. And then tragically, what happened at Appalachee happened. I had the honor to meet with Ricky's wife, and she got involved with getting this bill passed, working with myself, Senator Dixon, Senator Couzert, Senator Ginn, that represent the Barrow County, Athens area, because of just, you know, what was going on behind the scenes in terms of the discussion of keeping our school safe. And we've seen, you know, some really great leadership from Governor Kemp in this General Assembly year after year in terms of school security grants, to harden our schools, but also the mental health aspect in terms of those investments, in terms of school counselors. So I don't think we're done. I think over the long run, I mean, this needs to be a constant, you know, discussion at the forefront of what's happening every day in our schools, because this could happen anywhere.
Yeah, I actually want to mention a few of the things that some schools are doing, such as installing metal detectors, not just in schools, but also at football games. One school district has been installing shield systems in the front offices of middle and elementary schools in the district to require all visitors to buzz in to gain entry. That district has also hired a security director to train the school resource officers, who are now present in every school and 2 or 3 of them in the high schools. The governor's budget over the last few years has provided for some funding, and as technology continues to evolve, won't that money have to remain a priority?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I have one school district in Polk County, Georgia, that basically has metal detectors, school resource officers, police officers. It's probably, you know, from a physical security perspective, one of the safest school districts, if not the safest school district in the state of Georgia. But I think, as you and I know, weapons, things, security incidents, you know, threats can happen anywhere. And a metal detector is not going to be foolproof. I mean, a lot of these things are not going to totally stop the incidents that we saw in Florida, that we unfortunately saw at Appalachee. I think it's going to be vigilant students and willing to speak up. And if you see something, say something. I mean, I know I tell our kids that all the time, and the kids in our community. And even growing up from being, you know, in DeKalb County schools and the crazy things me and my brother saw growing up, a lot of kids carried weapons. I mean, their friends would bring weapons on campus, and that was before metal detectors and things were really, you know, prevalent like we've seen in some school districts today. So I think the reality is passing gun laws, the stop gun laws, and all that kind of stuff is not going to really change the dynamics of what we've seen in our state. I think it's educating our kids, our parents being responsible, know what their kids are doing, but empowering teachers and our principals who are on the front lines of a lot of what's happening in their building in terms of the culture of their building to have a bigger say in what happens from a security standpoint, but also a student population standpoint in terms of those dynamics.
Let's talk about another major part of the law. It mandates real-time digital mapping to help first responders. And even though it's not in effect until July of next year, some of that is already happening now. Explain what that's all about.
So one of the things, whether we use the Appalachia example or any other threat incident example at elementary school, high school, is for when first responders show up on campus to know the layout of the campus, where are locks, where are doors, where are people, where are things stored? And that could be everything inside the school building or even on the athletic facility at the football stadium. Where are the emergency entrances? So if a fire truck, a SWAT vehicle, or anything has to come on campus to save lives or protect lives, they know where those entry and exit points are. And also, too, if they're trying to track down an assailant, they also have a better idea of where to literally go, especially with the alert system being in place under Ricky and Alyssa's law. How do they get to that pinpointed, identified location where the threat may exist? So basically what this is requiring is for all the school districts and buildings in the state to be mapped so that if I'm a law enforcement agent in maybe a neighboring county and I'm coming over to help my brothers and sisters respond to an incident, I have that real-time mapping data as I'm headed to the scene. And so when I arrive at the scene, I can basically engage and I'm on the same page with everyone else. Because I think many people may think, you know, unless you live in those communities or you go through these threat assessment exercises, that everybody in law enforcement may be familiar with a piece of property or a building. And a lot of times they're collecting data or understanding the situation while they're en route to that facility, especially if you have federal authorities involved, like the ATF or FBI or even the GBI, you know, playing supporting cast to local law enforcement. And the same goes for firefighters or EMS workers while they're on site, because they're also under threat too if there's an active shooter situation or something else going on. So all it is basically requiring that this data be present. And it's just a common sense approach to basically making sure that our frontline responders have everything, you know, to help them be equipped to respond to those incidents.
Yeah, it just makes sense to have this big picture look at what's going on for even the smallest schools. And as I mentioned, not in effect until July 1st of next year. So they have a while, the schools that haven't done that.
Yeah, so basically they're setting policy, working with the State Department of Education in terms of their policies and procedures. And then for the school districts that may not have some of these things in place, it gives them an opportunity to work with local law enforcement and their public safety agencies to make sure that the policies are aligning with the people who are going in the doors and saving lives. And I think that's always forgotten too, is, you know, we have to trust the people who are the experts and who are knowledgeable. And nothing against my wife or other teachers, but I think the people who are coming and trying to almost save lives, you know, their history and experience needs to kind of set the precedent of what we're doing in these situations from a planning perspective.
And this is personal for you in the sense that your wife is a teacher. You have children in the schools.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about these kind of things all the time. I mean, I think it's a parent's responsibility or a guardian's responsibility to make sure their kids are educated in terms of kind of what's going on. You know, there's no, even growing up, I mean, bad things can happen at any moment in this world. I mean, let's just be real about it. And I think being prepared and just having, you know, street smarts, knowing when things just kind of feel off or you hear of other students maybe bullying other students or chatter that, you know, could lead up to an incident, whether that's online or that's kind of, you know, like you and I are doing right now, kind of face to face, is to report those things to the proper authorities or go to that safe person you trust in your school, whether it's your teacher, your counselor, your principal, or a lot of times these days the school safety resource officer, so they can help. And there's ways too for if you're a student, you know, to be protected and in the sense of your identity. Because I think a lot of students, you know, they report things or, you know, being bullied and they worry about retaliation, which is a real life thing that I think a lot of adolescent kids stress over. And so I think we got to create these safe conversation environments in our schools to where before these kind of incidents happen, information and data can be shared. And it goes from in person to, you know, what's going on, you know, these kids' phones that they're, you know, bringing in and out of schools.
Let's have these conversations take place, beginning with this conversation, which is really crucial just as school begins. I want to thank you so much, Senate Majority Leader Jason Anavatarte, for coming on Lawmakers Huddle.
Thank you so much.
For Lawmakers Huddle, I'm Donna Lowry.
You can watch Donna hosting GPB's Lawmakers nightly at 7 p.m. while the legislature's in session, or online at gpb.org/lawmakers.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.